This week on the Glass Cannon Podcast, the heroes return home.
I actually put up a mission accomplished banner behind me, like George W. Bush after the
Barron's wearing a bomber jacket.
But victory comes at a price.
What happened to him? You're telling me it's because of me. Well, I want to know how to fix it.
Now they face an even greater threat.
If this storm tyrant, Volstis, is gathering an army of giants, we are all doomed.
And a violent new ally might be their only hope.
The man's a killer. You need a killer. And let's be honest, we're all killers these days.
The adventure continues now.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 71 of the Glass Cannon Podcast. It's me, Skid, the artist formerly known as Galabras. I want to say that I was really touched this week by the outpouring of emotion from people impacted by the events of last week's episode, the cards, letters, emails, phone calls from people I hadn't heard from in years, including Michael Dukakis. Very touching, particularly. Thank you very much, sir. I didn't know what to expect, and I don't know what to expect. I didn't know what to expect this week either, and hopefully you won't see what's coming either. I do want to say that the Cannon Fodder Trivia Contest has ended, and a winner will be announced soon. So, very exciting. But right now, let's embark on the first episode of Book 3 of the Giant Slayer Adventure Path, Episode 71, That Was Then, This Is True Now.
Well, 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 here we are back again. Two books down, four to go, and then I never have to hang out with you losers again.
Hey, Troy, can I ask a question?
You may. Matt, a question from the back?
Yes, thank you.
The small man in the back?
Was that small in integrity, or...
Yeah, don't think I don't listen to Cannon Fodder and listen to y'all call me a cheating fuck, by the way.
The small man with his hands down his pants? Yeah. You have a question?
It's for warmth. I was just going to ask if you have on your like on your headboard in your bedroom, do you keep a tally mark? You like notching every time you kill one of us?
Well, I have so many notches up there, I forget who's who. Starting strong. You know, when we finished book one last time, we did a whole episode that was pretty much a retrospective. We talked about Galarian history, the
nerds,
geopolitical landscape of Galarian and everything. And then towards the end is when you guys went to the keelboat and we got a little taste, a little touch of what book two was really going to be about. And that's where we met Ben Vereed. Was that episode, that
right.
First episode. I don't think he was named until the following episode. Yeah. I don't want to do that this time because, you know, with Cannon Fodder now, it kind of that does that for us to a certain extent. But I would like to just kind of open today by, you know, just reflecting a little bit on book two in the sense of like how, well, I'll just start, like how it all turned out from the keelboat to the Vault of Thorns to Red Lake Fort, how did everything differ from your expectations? And anyone can answer.
I'll say that I thought that there would be more ship-to-ship combat on the ship. I thought that the swamp would be filled with undead creatures. I thought that the vault would be filled with undead, like druids and stuff like that. So it was completely different.
You took undead as your second favorite enemy.
Yeah.
You have yet to run into any.
That was a massive mistake. Yeah. So I'm begging you to just make up undead and put him in book three, please. And... Yeah, the fort obviously was completely different than what I thought it was. You know, it's just with her breaking down and losing her whole leadership grasp on the army and everything. And I certainly expected the whatever organization was happening, this union of giants and orcs, to be the thing of the adventure path, not like one small mission of one useless giant.
Right.
In the grand scheme of things. So it's very disconcerting. I will say that I was depressed at the end of last episode.
I think I
went home sad.
Yeah.
I was sad. Like, we finished the book. We beat it, quote unquote, and I was just sad.
You guys said that at the end of last episode. You're like, I had no idea I'd feel this sad at the end of book two.
Yeah.
Well, I will say for my part that every single thing that happened in book two, moment to moment, played out exactly how I thought it would.
Why did you tell us about Gormley?
I didn't want to ruin everything for everybody. You know,
it is known that Skid does read all the adventure paths in advance.
It gives him.
Elsewise, yeah. How would he know Malira was down in that hole?
Yeah, that's why.
Or that there was a treasure trove underneath that the orcs were seeking underneath Trunau.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I knew.
It's way. You're way more effective as a player if you read the adventure path before you come in.
Are you
play.
Guys not reading it? I don't understand why.
You know, they sell it. It's out there.
Yeah, like you can get a PDF for like $10 or something on Paizo. I don't understand. Why am I the only one doing the homework here?
Skip, we all know your dedication.
Pulling
knows,
the weight.
Knows no bounds. What about you, Grant? Anything different from your expectation?
In terms of like intrigue and whatnot, this one had a lot of double crosses. I really liked, and they were always
I always knew.
Well, and then on the boat, Malira coming back, and
yeah, Malira, Iwiga, and then the general in the end.
So
there really was a lot of double crosses.
I always knew another one was coming, but I wasn't sure where. I thought like maybe Fabian Blix was gonna turn into the demon that was actually doing everything as soon as we destroyed the bones, but
right,
you know what I mean. So,
I am Tamund Varius!
Rips off his mask.
His ghost mask.
And now, it's obviously with the events of last episode, Skid has had to deal with this most recently, but Matthew, you were the first one to deal with the loss of a character. But I would venture to say that you're really enjoying Della. So, do you miss Gormley?
I miss Gormley. I mean, I will say I was surprised because as it was my first adventure path, you know, with a fun character to play, I thought you might have not wanted to kill her so early. But other than that, yeah, no,
it
I am really.
It was 50 episodes in.
It was 50 episodes. No,
it's pretty far. It's pretty deep.
I mean, one of the reasons I went Magus is I really do like playing the casters. I like having like the ability to be like, okay, I'm going to look at the spell.
Change the reality.
How can I use the spell to have a fun like way to mess things up for the DM? But that's one of the reasons I went Magus was like, well, I want to do that, but I also want to like get in some fights.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And I mean, that's the beauty of the Magus.
You definitely didn't do that as Gormley.
Never.
You didn't really get into the fight.
He did every time.
Every single time with no armor.
Let me rephrase. Get into the fight and then not run away immediately.
And now, before we jump into the next chapter, if you will, I think it'll be interesting for me to ask you this question, and then we can reflect again, 40 episodes from now, if however long it takes. What are your expectations for the next part? You know that you have a treasure map to a dwarven tomb, the tomb of Nargrim Steelhand. You know you've got another map of something beyond there to this area known as Minderhall's Valley that is supposedly an area where an army of giants is gathering. So you have kind of a sense of what's coming up, but you know the writers of these books and I can throw totally different things at you. What are your expectations for what this is going to be like?
I have no idea. I have no clue what's going to happen.
Yeah, you really don't, because you have no character.
No, right. I know. I don't even know who my character is. It's on the surface, it sounds like it may play out very similarly to like Vault of Thorns, because you know that we're going to another like kind of rescue a cache of weapons, you know. But obviously, it will play out in a completely different way than Vault of Thorns did. And Minderhall's Valley, like who knows, like what that is.
Mm. Yeah. I would imagine, I'm just sort of imagining off the top of my head, like trekking through the mountains. Like that's kind of what I picture right now. Like I imagine Lork and the team just sort of like ranging through the mountains, camping, you know, like rations, going for weeks without seeing people, as opposed to like, but I didn't expect the keelboat thing to be such a, you know, a big intimate part of it. And I guess when I say the four of us, I forget that the dwarves are coming as well, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, their end game, as far as you know, is finding Nargum's
tomb. The giant killer's tomb, yeah. So, like, yeah, I just imagine sort of a Fellowship of the Ring kind of thing, where we're setting out from Trunau, I would imagine, at some point, and ranging into the mountains.
Right.
Did I happen to mention what Lork's favored terrain is? Mountains.
I was going to say, knowing you, you probably chose swamps. Swamps and undead. I'm like making it hard on myself.
Oh, man.
Well, yeah, that's it. One thing I neglected to mention, because there was just such a somber mood in the room and I wanted to continue along with that, but, and it's going to sound like I'm fudging numbers here, but were it not for Galabras' ultimate sacrifice, you would have not had enough XP to level up, but he did wipe out enough orcs for you to gain 7th level.
Yay! All
right! Bachelor party.
So, as we do, it's been a while. You guys didn't level up since Gormley's funeral.
Oh, wow.
All of Red Lake Fort happened, and now you guys are leveling up. Obviously, right at the beginning of Book 3, it's built that way.
We have to give the gods blood sacrifice, blood tribute, in order to level up, apparently.
Right. Just bleed into the sands. So let's talk a little bit about all the multi-classes you guys took. Skid, I'm gonna leave you out of this discussion, because I don't even know why you're here.
We felt bad.
But let's just go around the room and Matthew, what is going on with Della at 7th level?
Della, multi-classed.
What?
Shut the front door.
You son of a bag of hammers.
Ask me why.
Don't know.
Because Troy forced me to.
All right. Forced is a strong word.
He took me in the back room and said he would do terrible things to me.
His look of surprise was very convincing.
I'll make you another notch on my bedpost.
Wait a minute.
Gormley, Della, and then Matthew.
That could mean a lot of things. So you multiclassed. What class did Della take for 7th level?
Della took a level in Bard.
Oh!
I love it!
Wow, well, she is a dancer.
She is a dancer.
She has spoken of her dancing abilities. Okay, talk to me about this.
So there are, like, metagaming reasons, and then there are in-game reasons. The metagaming reason was that we needed, without a cleric, we were going to need someone who could do a little healing. And bards have Cure Light Wounds on their spell list, right. So I could use wands, that kind of stuff. In-game, I was thinking that between watching Galabras just be like have his mind taken from him, mm-hmm. and then in the combat where this Della crit and the elemental basically like ripped through the space-time continuum to come in to
so
finish
awesome.
The battle, I think she was a little kind of afraid of her power that mm-hmm. she's reached, and so now,
not unlike her father in that vision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and obviously he is to go a little bit into it, her father is the. He was the one who trained her in the ways of magic and combat
and dancing.
And well, I think that came naturally.
If you first step seen like it. This.
I think you know, since we've gotten back to Trunau, Della has been spending time in Galabras's new house, you know, studying and trying to connect with him in a way that would make sense to him. So she's trying to like learn the good ways of the magic, not just the ways of hurting things.
Right. So you assume you're already back in Trunau and. We're not going to start outside the gates.
Gosh.
It's a bold choice, man.
Fine. On the way back to Trunau.
She was just dancing in the woods. Yeah. Cool. And, you know, Bard, we've talked about it before. I know you don't use social media, Matthew, but a lot of our fans were like begging for a Bard, and so you gave it to them.
Yes. I listen to the fans.
And so you have Bardic Performance, which allows you to dance, and it gives a buff to the party.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, I can do a couple of things, but the big one is Inspire Courage.
Yes.
So when I start dancing, you all get +1 to all relevant stats.
And what's the rule on that? We actually have a dancing bard in our other campaign. Mm-hmm. Do we have to see them? I know
we have to be able to see
yes.
them.
Yes. So the next time Baron is blind, he doesn't get a +1.
Exactly.
That's yeah. correct, yes.
Yeah, like if you're singing, if you're bardic, usually it's singing, but if you're a singing bard, then you have to be able to hear it. If it's, you know, oratory, whatever.
If it's slam poetry,
you have to be able to hear it.
Almost went slam
True
poetry.
Now. Yeah. True. Now.
How? Now, Trunau.
The other thing being a bard gives...
Keep your orcs off my walls, catapult. Drop the mic.
Well, the other thing we lost with Gel going to, losing all of his intelligence is the ability to have a more wide range of knowledge checks. And bards get bardic knowledge, so bards can roll, at first level, can roll any knowledge check untrained.
That is enormous. Yeah, that is so, so helpful. Cool. Without a wizard in the party who devotes a ton of skill points to all of the knowledges, you can't. That's the only skill, I think, that you can't roll untrained for the most part. And so being able to do that as a bard is
And
great.
I like it, too, like in story sense for your character, because it represents, it reflects your kind of voracious like hunt for knowledge. That
right, to learn about this
to
world.
To learn about everything, yeah. It's just like... Like you're spending all of your time just like learning all this,
asking
stuff.
People, talking to people, yeah, asking, yeah. Yeah, asking the orcs on the half orcs on the boat so where now, they came from, what their lives have been like, all that stuff.
Yeah, religion, all that. So now right. She has a survey knowledge of a little bit of everything.
And now Baron, so you would be 6 levels of gunslinger, 1 level of rogue. What is that 1 rogue level? I'm curious.
Classic. You know, because I'm not as small as our friend over here, I'm too large for Troy to beat up into making me...
He is a large man.
can't make me multi-class. I had to take one more, and the reason why I'm planning on multi-classing level 8, so oh, get ready in 40 episodes if I live, I finally get to play the class more like what I had imagined it as. And we got a taste of that with the utility shots where I could scoot an unattended object.
Right.
But
like when you tried to move the dress.
Yeah. It's been pretty fucking lame so far. But I actually get a deed called targeting, where I can take a full round action to target the arms, head, legs, torso, or wings of an enemy. And the torso basically keens my weapon to where it crits on 19 to 20. Wings force animals to make fly checks.
So wait, your gun is now going to crit 19 to 20?
If I spend a grit point and take a full round action.
I don't even know why we're playing anymore.
That's legs, if I shoot their legs, it makes the person get knocked prone, normal damage. Head, normal damage and confused for one round.
Oh wow.
And arms, even if it's a weapon hold, no damage on arms, and even if the weapon is hold with both hands, they drop it.
That is so fun.
Wow. That's cool. So you're sacrificing damage for these things.
No,
they take the damage as well.
All the damage is there too,
mostly.
Well, except for arms. Yeah. But yeah, if you should start supplying all your enemies with locked gauntlets to keep their weapons in their hands. Basically.
Note to self.
Locked gauntlets. I never even heard of that.
The other thing I get was a first level deed, which is another way to spend grit, which allows me to resolve against touch AC outside of my first range increment. I had to spend grit again, so it's another. I only have 3 points, so it's another. Do I? Don't I?
It's great because I made sure all the enemies in book 3 have 20 touch AC.
They're all giant rogues.
Right. I thought you were going to say I made sure that all my enemies will constantly be standing 25 feet away from me.
They all have an immediate action teleport. Zoom, boom, zoom, boom, moving away.
Well, that's pretty cool. That's definitely going to make things more interesting for Baron, shooting specific body parts in areas. What about Lork? Lork the cursed? Lork who...
Lork the cursed.
Champion of single
combat.
His god
has failed him. He failed his god. Not quite sure.
Yeah.
Everyone around him dies. What did he choose? Oracle?
Now, Lork took another level of ranger. I'm just trying to... imagining going into these mountains, I just couldn't imagine him doing anything else than sticking with the ranger path. And it's not really that interesting for rangers. That I think they get... I can't remember it off the top of my head. It is woodland stride, so useless. I can move through any underbrush, difficult terrain normally, which would have been amazing in the Vault of Thorns and is now useless. Yeah. So
why would you 7th level in the Vault of Thorns? That would have been so much better.
Yeah, exactly. But one thing I do get, which is cool because of my archetype, is a new hunter's trick. So I took Vengeance Strike. A ranger can use this trick as an immediate action when an enemy adjacent to him hits an ally with a melee or ranged attack. the ranger can make a single melee attack at his highest base attack bonus against the creature who attacked his ally.
Wow.
So Lork is trying to stop people from dying. He's trying to stop his allies from dying. So I thought that was a cool trick. Vengeance strike.
Much
immediate
like,
action.
Right. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's so funny how you're just like Anakin Skywalker in the prequels. That's what led him down the dark path.
I don't acknowledge references to that movie. Let's move on.
It doesn't exist.
All right, so you have leveled up.
Oh, wait, I have a quick question for Lork.
Yes.
So it just didn't make sense from a character motivation level to stray out of your current trajectory long ranger, or you see something cool on the horizon at level 8, or...
Yeah, I see something cool coming for Barry Connick Jr.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Cool, cool.
So I have to keep taking ranger levels for him to continue to get his abilities, and he's not quite there yet, but he will be soon.
Cool. So does Barry level up every time Lork levels up?
Yep.
And what happens if you were to multi-class, but Barry just not get a level?
He would stop leveling, yeah. Okay. There are feats that allow you to use any character level for your companion, but they're expensive.
But like
they take a lot of work to get.
The difference between a druid and a ranger, and he said before, is druids, animal companions, level are the same exact level as them. You get them at first level, and they level up with you. Whereas the ranger, your animal companion, is always three levels behind, or two
yeah,
levels
because
behind.
You don't get them until fourth level. Mm. So, but yeah, cool things on the horizon for Barry.
After he dies.
God damn it.
And then Galabras can summon him back. Oh, wait, no, Galabras is not too. And since this is the start of book three, we're going to be implementing the new house rule.
All right.
That's right.
That's right.
We've already mentioned what it is, but just to remind you, it's really going to affect Lork and Baron the most, I think. But anytime you miss a ranged attack into melee, you roll a D100 as well. If you roll a 1 to 10, you're going to hit your ally. If there are multiple allies, I'll roll to see which one you hit. If you fumble on the ranged attack, it increases to a 20% chance that you hit your ally and you fumble.
You still fumble.
And then to make things just horrible enough.
Horrifying enough.
If you ever miss and roll a 1 on the D100, you crit your ally.
Oh, wow.
Boy. Is that only if you fumble or just if you miss and roll a 1?
Just if you miss.
Just if you miss and roll a 1.
So gonna, be careful.
So I'm just going to stay out of melee. That was going to stay out of melee, period.
A exactly. 1 in 100 chance, and I cannot wait for the moment when Baron blows out the back of Lork's head.
Who did that?
Oh, man.
Or you know what could very well happen in our game? It's going to be Lork accidentally kills Barry Connick Jr.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost happened before.
Like arrow through the brain.
Right. Well, he has precise strike, though, so he's not taking any penalty on those attacks into melee. So,
but you're rolling.
You're right. You're right. Oh, my God. And how much I fumble? 1 to 20.
But, let's be honest, though, Troy. Barry Connick Jr. is never going to be in melee combat with an enemy.
That's true. Barry, stay.
Barry, stay.
Out of combat.
Barry,
stay. Don't be interesting. Stay. Stay.
That's a trick I have.
Be useless.
It's called mundane exceptional ability.
Joe, you in the trip back, you would have been able to teach Barry another trick, assuming you rolled high enough. Do you want to do that roll and teach him the trick?
Yes, I certainly do.
And then we're going to jump right in.
And I'm actually just doing I'm taking cum, which he actually didn't have. Like, Ben Vereen had it before, but if you remember, I had taken guard, stay, and attack.
Yeah, he definitely knows stay.
He definitely knows stay, but now he doesn't know cum. So, and the interesting thing is, all my handle animal checks previously had been with Gel's bit of luck. And to learn the new trick. Now, I'm very confident now.
Just grab Gel's limp hand and slap yourself on the back.
My handle animal is high enough now that I will... And cum is an easy enough trick that I will guarantee to get it unless I roll a natural 1. That's the only thing that will not get it.
Let's just move on. You're not going to get it.
0% chance of that happening.
Here it goes. 9. Got it.
All right.
All right, so he knows cum now.
Barry can cum on command.
I was waiting for that. I was thinking during the training montage that Frankie Goes to Hollywood's Relax started playing. Relax, don't do it when you want to come to it. Relax when you want to come.
Lurks in like a sweat outfit. Like, just come on, come on, boom, come on, Barry.
He's got a headband on.
Yeah.
My own companion like potatoes. If you want this, come. All right, so flashback to this imaginary reality we've created. You guys said your goodbyes to Rag and Halrex and the crew. Shog, who is now brotherless. Maybe you'll start something up with Halrix.
They do look the same.
Yeah. She doesn't know the difference, although her and Rag were getting at it. Anyways, you can hear in the distance the sounds of the town being rebuilt. Tong, 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 after the siege of Trunau. And as you get maybe within 200 feet of the main gates, someone walks in on a hardwood floor, according to Sirenscape.
Yeah, that was an extremely loud sound effect. I was trying to have people walking, and it was like
on a creaky dirt road.
I thought someone walked into your apartment, was invisible, and was going to kill us. Like
your look of confusion was so honest. I was like, "What happened?"
It's Malira.
Three horses come galloping out of the main gates directly at you. Bows at the ready.
Whoa!
On two of them, they stop. The two guards dismount. Bows aimed on you guys. The third figure in the back, hooded, dismounts as well. Slowly walks towards you. Makes a really fast motion, tumbles to the ground, leaps up. Hey, fellas, welcome back! Hey! It's Tom!
Whips the hood back.
Hey, guys! We sent out scouts. I heard you were nearby. Welcome back to Trunau!
Tom, I never thought I'd be so happy to see you.
Sorry for the scare. I thought it'd be funny. Hey, where's your friends? Nobody died, right?
We did lose Gormley, Tom. She fell in the Vault of Thorns.
Bummer. I never really knew her, but she seemed like a good friend. Looks like you found a little girl. What's your name? You like cars? You old enough to drive?
So leans over to Baron. He's like,
what is going on?
Baron says, don't buy the Cutlass Supreme, whatever you do.
Yeah, Lork turns, he's just like, don't buy anything.
I'm not buying anything.
Are you sure? Because I have got a deal for anyone new to Trunau. For a small price of 300 gold. I can get you a bed in the Ramble House.
First timer?
So he's like, yeah, we sent us some scouts. We heard you guys were coming. I'll let the whole crew know. I'm sure we'll want to have a meeting to find out everything that went down at Red Lake Fort. But in the meantime, welcome home.
Thanks, Tom. It's good to be back.
Hops on his horse, gobs away with the two archers. And the archers are looking at you like, I'm sorry he asked us to do this.
he gave us a gold piece.
He thought this would be funny. I thought it was very dangerous. And they just walk away.
I know, like, what if Lork shot one of them? Like, pulls out a bow.
He just kept saying, it'll be great, it'll be great, don't worry. And here you are, walking through the gates of Trunau. In the distance, you can see the barter stones where Lork flew through the air.
Yeah.
With the greatest of ease. You know, you see the cave area where you guys went down to Uskroth's tomb has been all sealed over. There aren't bodies everywhere like there were as you were leaving Trunau. Remember you left Trunau in, like, twilight? Because you didn't want a big fanfare?
Yeah.
And there was just the stench of death and piles of bodies of orcs. You know, they've all been presumably burnt. And then the dead of, you know, the citizens of Trunau have been buried and services have been had and whatnot. So it seems like the city is it's on the mend. It's not quite business as usual, but you see, you know, people are working, fixing their houses, and whatnot. And you, after all this time, are back in Trunau. Tom has told you that he's gonna go let the Council of Defenders know that you're back. I'm sure they'll want to speak with you. I know you'll want to speak with them.
And Lork is going to tell Tom that he wants the sanctuary to be prepared to take Galabras, that we're bringing in Galabras, and he's hurt.
Okay. So I would think that's probably the first thing you want to do, unless there's something else you want to do. It's up to you guys. Let me know.
No, I mean, I want to take him there first, and, yeah, and then I want to go home, at least for a little.
Right.
Drop my stuff off and make sure my house is okay.
Okay. Some wild teens had broke in, had a party.
Whatever. Yeah, exactly. Kegger.
Gormley already searched the house for gold.
Solo cups everywhere.
All right, so you go to oh, man, it just thinking about this story-wise, you're going back to the sanctuary. This was Gel's sanctuary, literally, from his former life. He came here and offered his services to the town, and now you're bringing his, you know, body.
Yeah, so it's kind of, I imagine it like on a cart, basically. Like,
yeah, you know, Rag helped you. They had
walking
stuff.
It through town.
They had stretchers there that they could fashion for you, so you were able to carry him back. And you also have Umlo and Ingrahild with you as well.
Androsia.
Androsia. So you guys get to the sanctuary, and sure enough, there is High Priestess Tayari Varvedos.
She's going to shake us down.
I'm sure we can watch Galabras
for a small donation.
And I'd have to go back and listen, but I think she is one of two people played by Catherine Zeta-Jones.
She is.
Right, yeah, Catherine Zeta-Jones in different movies.
Right. Yeah, one was High Fidelity Catherine
I think
Zeta-Jones.
She's High Fidelity Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Yeah, I like her better.
And there's somebody at the council that is...
Entrapment. Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Right, the counselor and banker, Leslie Crumpkin. Was played by Entrapped. Zeta-Jones. We're so stupid. Okay, so you bring him in. Androsia is kind of wide-eyed and whatnot. Tyre Varvedos is there. That guy, Brantos Calderon, is there as well. Do you remember him?
The paladin, right?
Yeah, the paladin.
Useless. Just leans against the wall. Yep. Doesn't clean up anything.
That's his job.
Yeah.
He's there. He's protection. He's the muscle.
Right.
Even sanctuaries need muscle. And Kurtresver eventually makes his presence known.
Yeah.
Androsia sees Kurtresver, and I'm sure you guys have told them, like, I think you told Androsia when you met her, like, we know a seer, or maybe you just talked among yourselves.
I think we did.
Maybe
not.
You have two half-orc oracles, and Androsia goes off to speak with him and just talk about oracle stuff. So have you seen anything good lately?
Just oracle things.
Lottery numbers for tomorrow are...
And Tyeri goes to Galabras and you know, says a prayer over the body.
We explain, you know, what happened. And
right.
Everything.
And he's, you know, his eye, this is what's so creepy. His eyes are open. And she says, let's just... I'll say a prayer for a moment. And she lays her hands on him and she says, he has been inflicted with feeble mind. It is a very, very powerful spell. He could, in truth, follow you around and defend you feebly with no intelligence and no charisma. Charisma.
He wouldn't be very likable.
No, he would be very ornery and feeble. But it would take a spell from a cleric, wizard, or someone much more powerful than anyone I have ever met. And Kurtresra nods. Yes, it would. I don't know how he talks, but I can't remember. So yes, it would... In all my years, I've never met someone that could remove a spell of that high. A DC. higher level.
And they would all know Brander, too, because he came to Trunau.
Right, yeah, so you guys explain all that, as well as, it makes sense.
Yeah.
If in the time he spent after Galabras...
That guy did seem like a dick.
He was rather dickish. If in the time after he left Galabras here, he... most likely only grew more powerful in his solitude. So I can only imagine the strength of this. But he will be safe here. May I look at the body more carefully?
Aye, we'd like you to examine him, and if there's nothing to be done, then we're going to need someone to look after him, because he's alive, and if we can find a way to bring him back, if we can find someone that powerful, we will.
And this is where Androsia comes up. She's like, I have told them that I will watch this boy, this man. I will keep vigil over him if Trunau will have me.
She does owe him.
Yeah. And Tyre says, this is a matter to be discussed with the council. But it is my understanding that he has a home here, and it has been completed. It is built. After I look at him, perhaps... we could move him back there, and if the council approves it, Droja, you may watch over him in vigil. She starts, like, very gently looking through his person, and she finds in his breast pocket of his cloak a paper, and she reads it, but in movie speak, you hear the voice of Galabras.
And it's actually sealed with wax, and she breaks the seal. And it says, on the front, it says, to be read in the event of my death, dismemberment, or mental enfeeblement.
Wow.
Galabras is so wise.
Covered all the bases.
If the seal has been broken on this letter, I have fallen and am gone. But do not weep for me, for I have been blessed with the bravest and finest friends any man has ever known. I would ask what wealth I have be divided among the company as they best see fit, with the following exceptions. I bequeath to Baron my mule back cords. The burden will be heavier on you now, my friend, and I hope they will help you to bear it. To Della I leave my star knife and my holy texts. I have known you but a short while, yet your grace and cleverness have been a constant inspiration to me. May you use them both to spread the love of Desna on your travels. To Lork, I entrust the hammer and the armor of Uskroth. You alone possess the strength of character, the will, and the unshakable sense of honor it will require to safely wield these mighty artifacts in the face of the danger you are sure to face. I feel they are the key to all of this. Guard them well, my friend. I know you will. Finally, I would ask that my silver holy symbol be delivered to Sir Calrian Blix. Though our time together was all too fleeting, I found myself quite taken by her beauty and devotion to her cause. Please tell her I hoped very much I would see her again, and I am sorry that I will not. Go with the dreamer, my comrades. Know that I will always be with you.
Tear.
Holy shit.
I kind of want to cry.
I know. It's so sad.
It's so sad.
Alongside that letter, there is another sealed letter saying, to be delivered to Shandley Finstock, Merchant's Quarter, Absalom.
Ooh.
Oh.
Whoa.
Shandley Finstock, Merchant's Quarter, Absalom. I got to remember to write that down. That's that's very interesting. And Skid, you get a bottle cap for maybe a new character that you'll bring.
Oh, all right. Or I could just give it to Gary. You could put it with the other one.
Yeah, it's good. You get a bottle cap. You know, if you play in other games with me, you can use it.
Oh, great. Okay.
But, yeah, you can definitely leave now.
unless you want to... Thanks for reading that, dude.
Right. I mean, you can hang out if you want to hear what happens at the council.
No, I'll just listen later.
Okay, so you hear this. Lork is bequeathed Uskroth's armor. Obviously, the hammer has been taken by Brander.
Right. That's awesome. Exciting, but it's also like it's a little nerve-wracking because it isn't really what I had in mind. You know, like
I kind of wanted the star knife personally.
I really wanted the star knife.
No, it's just, you know, from a mechanic standpoint, you can't, you're just much less effective with a bow with that kind of armor. But he has this huge sword.
He didn't mean for you to wear it.
Yeah,
you can't even wear it. Just keep it safe.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, you're going to have to take a level in fighter one of these days. Not unlike Gal.
Yeah.
In order to wear it effectively. And you get the mule back cords, Baron, which obviously if you're going to start hauling dwarven treasure out of a tomb, that's going to come in handy. And then you got a star knife and some books.
Della also took the headband of alluring charisma that we took from Pappy when
just
she
raided the corpse.
No, she got long time ago.
I was actually going to like do a scene where I washed his face and removed the band and handed it to Della solemnly, but she's such a greedy little
sleight of hand as you're washing his face.
I'm puts it confiscating in his duster. This.
I mean, yeah, makes sense.
Okay, so, Lork, you said you want to go home. Baron, what are you going to grab a drink?
Grab a drink.
And Della, just kind of walk around town?
No, I think Della will go grab a drink with Baron.
Okay. Whoa, yeah. You see an ID there, miss.
She turns her scimitar on fire. This enough for you?
Come on in. Please put that up.
And I will pay for all of Umlo's drinks.
who's still, has he grown back a beard at all?
It's starting to come back in. He kind of shaved it off, so it's going to come back in evenly. So he looks
didn't
strange.
Have a beard trimmer.
Did we cast Umlo? I realized, I don't think I ever
we never did.
Cast Umlo. And I wrote it down and forgot.
Jeremy Renner.
Umlo is played by Jeremy Renner. And so, yeah, Umlo and Ingrahild, they look at Baron and they're like, dude, do you mind if we come along? We love drinking. We love it.
We're all dwarves here. No honor among dwarves.
And Ingrahild's like, I don't know if you have quarters here, but I really need to clean up.
Lork also offers to anyone that wants to stay with him, like to both the dwarves, to stay with him. You know, to stay at his place.
Well, you're going straight home. You're exhausted. You're going straight home. They're going to the killing grounds, which is...
No, I got it. But I'm saying before we left, he said, if you want to stumble back drunk to my place, you're more than welcome.
You're
going to
let everybody crash there if they want. Yeah. You're not going back to the ramble.
Well, I'm offering it. Yeah.
Right.
There's also Del's house.
Who's taking the race car bed?
Right. Delicate fit. all right. So you guys are all walking together. You assume the council meeting will be... tomorrow. You're all walking together and you get outside the killing grounds and Lork's just kind of like, I'll see you guys later. And he keeps walking into the inner quarter. You see a bunch of horses outside lined up. It's a busy night at the killing ground. I'm assuming that you spent the better part of the day at the sanctuary dealing with Gel. So it's early evening. See horses. You see a wolf that's like an armor on it tied up to a post outside of the killing grounds.
We have Reggie too.
And you have Reggie. So you bring Reggie and you tie her up next to the armored wolf. And then you go in and have some drinks. Do you have any other business that you want to take to? Rabus Clarendon, the guy who you saved from those.
Yeah, don't you have
fighters?
Free drinks for life or something?
That's right.
The original four did. All four.
He's like, you get the free drinks. Your friends have to pay.
You remember when I got to the Chalice Devil and I was just like overflowing with whiskey? I want them all right now.
So, you know, you're talking to them. He's giving you drinks. You're slipping Della some whiskeys under the table. You cheap bastard. Because you spent all your money on alchemical cartridges.
Yep.
So, you know, it's a pretty raucous scene there. You see all manner of people there. And there's a good feeling in the place like, hey, maybe Trunau's going to be all right. And I'm sure with your emergence back to the town, or you're coming back to the town, word is spread quickly, like, the heroes are back, they've saved Trunau, but they probably haven't told people, oh, by the way, there's a giant army amassing. So all they think is like, Trunau is saved!
I actually put up a mission accomplished banner behind me, like George W. Bush, after the...
Baron's wearing a bomber jacket.
We did it. No more war. We did it. I am partially based on him when he owned the Texas Rangers, just like doing cocaine all the time.
Yeah, totally.
Smoking a cigarillo. So yeah, you guys are getting pretty drunk, and Ingrahild and Umlo are getting trashed.
After a few drinks, Della gets up on the bar and just starts doing her modern dance, which now inspires courage among the entire bar.
They start fighting and everyone's hitting because they're getting that +1 to attack if any bar fights break out. Meanwhile, Lork, you're walking home and, you know, you're walking through that area where the orc beast tamer came out of the green fog and what did she have, wolves? Or I can't remember what the hell she had.
Wolves. Yeah.
No, it was Pomeranians. Pomeranians.
Right. Beautiful Pomeranians. And you're walking through there, and you keep seeing that scene in your head, because you can see up in the distance the location where Jasun was murdered, and you just keep seeing like that's of Jasun's throat being slit and thrown in the mud, and the blood leaking out. And you see that as you're walking home, and you hear a voice out of the shadows say, "Spare some change." Hey! Heffy!
He looks over. What does he see?
You see this fat, large man just sitting in his own filth. And he's like, got a little cup there. Heffy! Talking to you! You got any change?
No, I don't. Move along.
Oh, shocker!
Is it Eric Cartman?
Roll a perception check.
30.
Oh, I
even.
Know.
You look at him, you're like, no, I don't. And then you kind of catch a look at his face under the moonlight, and he looks incredibly familiar to you. But you can't quite piece it together.
Huh.
Maybe you walk towards him?
Yeah, yeah.
And with a 30 what perception?
30, yeah.
You can see underneath his soiled clothing are what looks like little tiny bones all tied together, making like a makeshift armor that wouldn't
do. Oh my god, I just got like chills.
Oh wow.
Holy shit.
He's not gonna get me changed. Just get out of here.
What's your name?
My name?
Yeah, you.
And he walks up to him. Is he of a similar height, or is he this guy stooped over? He looks pretty bad.
He's like fat and enormous, but like he's so low to the ground and dirty and pathetic. He's emotionally small while his body is taking up. You know, he's just like this homeless bum. But if you knew if he stood up, he'd probably tower over you.
Right.
My name is Teslo. You got any change?
Shit. That's his name. My God. Fuck. Well, he fucking hates this guy.
Explain who it is.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I thought it was pretty obvious.
That's one thing
sorry.
You could do.
So
take a moment.
Yeah. So
my time.
A couple episodes ago, when we started the big fight, this was there was a flashback that Lork had to when he was a kid and he got beat up by this bully in town who was a really serious bully. He actually, it was rumored that he had killed kids and stuff like that, and he. And this was Lork's last vision before he ran into that fight and then got demolished yet again
by the bone
giant. Yeah. That was his nickname.
The now, source of all your hatred.
Yeah. And now 40 years later or whatever.
And there he is, like, begging on the streets.
There's no one else around. Totally empty street. And he's just sitting there begging. You can hear the sounds of most likely people singing to Devil's Dancing way off in the distance. And they're, you know, walking around. But he's, like, at the head of an alley just... looking at you. What are you looking at? I'm not here to play games. Just get out of here.
Lork's just gonna walk away.
That's right, you better walk away. You halfy.
Yeah, I just like, he's just thinking, like, I would just walk him down the alley and just slide a fucking hope knife into his fucking neck and nobody would know about it.
Like American Psycho.
Yes, yes, exactly. And nobody would care about it. And, but he's thinking, how can I keep expanding this murderer's curse? Like, what if I continue to put my allies at risk and everyone I know, and I have this unborn, I have this trueborn son out there that, like, you know, the most dangerous thing about me is that I apparently am existing under this curse. So you know what? He's going to go home. He's going to drop his stuff. And no rest, he's going to immediately go back to the sanctuary and talk to Droja.
Okay. Meanwhile, you know, the night's wearing on. I would. Is Baron, like, letting himself go here? Is he really...
Not unless he's egged on.
Okay. Because Ingrid Hill, I'm like, come on, brother!
I think I'm a little more circumspect after seeing kind of the blood. Like, it's kind of hollow enjoyment.
Yeah.
It's like how I am at real parties, you know? Just drinking to fill a hole that will never be filled.
But they feel they're, if anything, I think you get a sense of like really closeness with these guys. You're right. You know, there's not a lot of dwarfs in Trunau. I have like the number of dwarfs that are in Trunau. There are literally 20 dwarfs in all of Trunau. So in the small amount of time that you spent there, you might have saw some of them, but they keep to themselves. Dwarves are a very isolated group of people. You know that.
We're going to do what the half-orcs that came into town tried to do and finish the job. We're going to burn this place to the ground tonight. Woo!
Yeah! The last image is the Mission Accomplished banner burning.
little embers floating into space.
Yeah. Oh, then it becomes Jurassic Park. It is falling slowly to the ground.
What a great movie.
But this is going to be, I would think, you know, whether or not the visions are true or not, you know, you feel this, you must feel this sense of displacement. So at least being around other dwarves who are making you feel loved. You feel like there's a family beyond just this party of yours, which is slowly dying around you, thanks to Lord.
I'm thinking about, how, you know, I've been thinking a lot about the name Nargrimmikin, and I've been thinking about being the kin of someone or the child of someone, and what I was told about not really being a Red Heart, and I'm thinking about this guy has a tomb built for him, has a crazy map. This formidable dwarven warrior. Maybe I can be that one day.
Right. Like, wouldn't you want to feel great?
Yeah.
You want there to be one day enough people that want to have the name Baron Redheart. Because you're still a Redheart. Nobody's going to tell you
different. It would probably be Berenson.
Baron Berenson.
Yep. Sounds great. Yeah. My child would be.
It rolls off the tongue.
Build a tomb to you and bury your gun within it.
Right. And I want all my internal organs to be taken out of my nose with a hook like the Egyptians.
Dude, why stop there? Let's just go for full deity. You can have the gun can be your weapon. A holy symbol is just a bullet.
Bullet with a butterfly wings? It could be like Desna and...
Yeah, like Smashing Pumpkins.
Uh-huh. The name of your herald is Umlo.
Yeah.
The night is drawing to a close. And you know you've got a big meeting tomorrow in the Ivory Hall. But Lork, you get yourself ready and you go back to talk to Drosia.
Yeah, he just can't. He's like, I'm not going to be able to sleep. Because he's kind of been avoiding it, but he needs to talk to her now. He needs to address this situation.
All right, so you walk in. You don't see Tayari. Brantos is there. He nods at you, lets you in. And you go downstairs to where Roderick's body was and where Jason's body was, and you see Galabras there, and Drosia is just peacefully sitting next to her with her head bowed.
Any change?
She shakes her head no.
I want to know about this curse. I want to know how I can be rid of it. I can't continue to expose my allies to this sort of harm. What happened to him? You're telling me it's because of me. Well, I want to know how to fix it.
I regret ever reading you in the first place. My visions are often clouded. Please, I didn't mean to etch this idea into your brain.
Don't give me that runaround! What did you see?
If what I say is true, and you are cursed, there is only two ways that I can see you removing it.
Good. What are they?
Redemption. Or your own death.
Redemption how? I've tried to save people. I've tried to do the right thing. My whole life I was just struggling to get by, and then I met people like him. People that taught me how to do the right thing. And that's what I've been trying to do. Isn't that redemption?
It's a start. But I cannot tell you, nor can anyone tell you, what the path to redemption is. It's something you will have to figure out on your own.
Is it my son? Is that... What about him? Where is he?
I do not know. Back where you started your life. Somewhere, perhaps in the Mindspin Mountains.
Is he safe?
He's alive. I know that. But what his life has become, who he is, I know not. Not unlike you, he grew up fatherless. So who knows?
Can I do a sense motive, just not to see if she's lying, but to see if she is...
Holding back.
Yeah, to see if she's holding back, like, worse news or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, 21. Natty 18.
No, you really feel like she...
She really just, it's that vague.
It's
to
that,
her.
Like what she sees are just images. She hears voices. She hears snippets of dialogue, sees images, and they're not always 100%, but that's all she sees. She doesn't see like clear answers.
Well, I'm just, Lork's just thinking, you know, how is he going to redeem himself? He saved the town. He beat all these enemies. He put himself at great risk. He almost died multiple times. Like, I don't know what else she wants from me. Well, in the meantime, she doesn't want anything from you.
This is something only Lork can figure out, is what she's telling you.
All right. Well, maybe it has something to do with that.
But that's what Lork's mindset is. Guy. It's like, what am I supposed to give to them? I've given them everything. It's not. It's something Lork has to figure out for Lork.
Okay.
Eventually, you go back home. You see Della passed out in a race car bed.
curled her long body into it.
Her scimitar's on fire, leaning on an ashtray.
He runs over, putting it out.
Tuck her in.
Leaning on an ashtray.
Stare at the poster of the girl leaning on the car. Shake your head and walk out.
Umlo's pissing in one of my bureau drawers.
Umlo's taking a dump in an umbrella holder.
This is the toilet, right?
Imrahild and Umlo are passed out drunk, and Baron's just sharpening his gun on a whetstone.
As always.
And Lork is looking around. I mean, he's looking at them as they're laying there, and he's imagining, like, who's going to be next?
Right.
Who's going to be next?
I walk over to Lork, and I say, you ever get a chance to open up that just sun ale I made you?
No, I thought I might be a danger to myself and others if I did.
Why don't we split it now? Talk about the old times.
I appreciate it, Baron, but I need my rest. I'm sorry, but I'm just not in a jovial mood.
And he kind of looks down at his shoes, then looks up and said, all right, brother. Taps him on the arm and walks into where he's sleeping.
Lork puts a hand on his shoulder. He says, we'll do it one day. We will.
Oh, I kind of wanted you to drink the ale. That's Pathfinder. You guys wake up the next day and start gathering yourselves. I'm sure there's some sort of service, not unlike the Ramble House, where Umlo and Ingrahild can go just clean up. So that's what they do pretty early. They're not hungover at all. They just go maybe to the Ramble House, rent a shower for a couple hours, clean up. And I don't think they're invited to the council meeting, per se. Neither is Drosia. You're going to discuss them, and then you're going to tell them what the situation is. They may not be able to come with you if the council says that. And eventually, you make it to the Ivory Hall. All of Halgra's children, young and old, are running around. You know, she's a bit of a loose goose over the years. And so she's got... loose goose! She's got a lot of people. And eventually, you make it back into the Ivory Hall.
Della is just kind of like, she's like looking around just in awe.
And it's beautiful. Like, it's, everything is white. Halgra at the end of the table with Silvermane standing behind her, played by Donald Sutherland.
Badass.
To her right, Jigrin. Sitting next to Jigrin now, no longer standing.
And Jigrin is the patrol leader.
Right,
patrol leader. Is
Lork's
that his title?
Boss. The one that made Lork a lieutenant.
Paul Giamatti.
Played by Paul Giamatti.
Father of Roderick and...
Cursed. Who is now sitting beside Jigrin at the table, no longer standing in the shadows behind him. Cursed. Played by Jim Parsons. On the other side of the table is Sarah Morninghawk, played by a bald Serena Williams. And her...
The whole crew.
And her wife, Agrit Stagenstar, the dwarf. Who I don't know if we've cast.
I don't think we ever cast her.
And then there is counselor and banker Lessie Crumpkin, played by Catherine Zeta-Jones, and Tyree Varvatos, also played by Catherine Zeta-Jones. And then across from them is Tom Exposition.
Yes.
Hey, everybody!
Is, what's his face there?
Noticeably absent is Kessin Plum.
I was trying not to say his name. He who must not be named.
You guys walk into the room, and it's Lork, Barry Connick Jr. Baron.
Come, Barry. And he comes.
And he comes. And Della. Please, have a seat. And there are seats for you now. You don't have to stand at the end of the table. Hauger says, I'm so sorry to hear of your great loss and your great sacrifice for the people of Trunau, nay, the people of all the hordes of Belxen that have suffered over the years for these orc tribes. No doubt they will rebuild over time. They're not going anywhere anytime soon.
But we've struck them a blow, though.
Yes. From what I understand, though, there is a much greater threat to not only Trunau, but all of the human nations bordering the Minespin Mountains, Lastwall, Molthun, Nidal, Nirmathas, and even Varisia. As far as we are concerned, you owe us nothing. Nothing. But to do what you have done, it seems as if you are the only ones that have the potential to stop this growing threat. If this storm tyrant Volstis is gathering an army of giants in some hidden valley deep in the Minespin Mountains, we are all doomed. And frankly, we do not have people with your abilities to take on such a threat. We understand that you have taken on some people to replace, although they can never truly be replaced, the ones you've lost, dear Gormley and Galabras. You've had now a couple of dwarves in your party and a oracle who I understand would like to stay here and keep vigil over Galabras. The council has talked, and we are more than happy with that, if she is someone that you trust. His home is ready. She may watch over him, and we know one day either you or we will find someone that can bring him back.
Aye, that we will.
But with just three of you and two dwarves, we need to give you more somehow, if you are planning on doing this. So, I ask you, is it your design to go to the Minespin Mountains, to find this hidden valley, do reconnaissance, and find some way to stop this threat? Baron, what say you?
I look directly at Hauger and I say, I'm going, but I need to go with authority. I've been a man without a country for too long. I'm asking for you to deputize me. I want to be the Sheriff of Trunau.
She looks to Chagrin. Chagrin looks at you and says, it shall be done.
Nice.
And he nods.
I will bring Trunau's justice out into the world and see it done.
There was a time when we had sheriffs in this area. And now we have a new one. You could say, there's a new sheriff in town. And, young girl, we hear, if the stories that have been told are correct, that you possess great powers. Are you willing to travel with our sheriff here into the wilderness?
I'm new to this plane, but I'd hate to see it go. I'm with them, and for Galabras. I'm going to track down who's done this to him.
They all sort of whisper under their breath, for Galabras, for Galabras, for Galabras. And you, Lork?
I wasn't much good, to be honest with you. Especially in that last fight. If it wasn't for Galabras, I, and Della, and Baron, wouldn't have done much good. I think that
that maybe I don't belong with them. I don't know. Besides, it's Dragrin who has to tell me what to do here.
Dragrin says your place is with your friends. You are a lieutenant, and they are your charge.
If the threat is anything like what we've already faced, and it sounds like it's going to be greater, I'm telling you, you're going to need more than just us.
How?
I'll do a reconnaissance for you, but we already lost some of our number, and we're going to lose more. Giants are terrifying creatures. And while I know how to hunt them, I'm not quite versed yet in standing toe-to-toe to fight with them.
Hagra looks at Dragrin and nods. And Dragrin says, we have an option for you. We have someone in our possession who we believe, if under the right guidance and supervision, can be helpful to you.
Who is this person?
Possession.
Is it a high-level cleric?
He looks at Halgra and she says, yes, Sheriff and Lieutenant, you may go with Dragrin. Della, if you don't mind waiting here, this is a police matter.
Della looks to Lork.
Stay back.
She stays.
Keep an eye on Barry.
I'll leave Barry with Della.
So, oh my god, I can't handle animal!
Don't push him.
Dragrin,
Barry, stay.
Motions you back out the hall.
Roll handle animal.
And you go downstairs, another set of stairs, another set of stairs. And he's telling you, he's like, this is a bit unorthodox. But if everything we've heard is true, you're going to need someone with a certain set of skills to take on this growing threat.
Liam Neeson?
You're going to need Liam Neeson. But since we don't have him...
We couldn't get him.
We have a prisoner.
Oh.
Who we are planning on executing.
Ah. Joe the player knows where this is going.
But we think, under the guidance of good people, he can be of use to you. He starts walking, and you hear in the distance, like, cup being dragged across bars. And you hear, like, singing.
Itsy bitsy spider went up the water spout. Down came the rain and washed the spider out. Along came the sun and dried up all the rain, and the itsy bitsy spider went up the spout again.
Walks in and you see a man. Shaved head.
Whoa.
In a cell.
Human?
Human. In a cell. And he says, this is Nestor.
Lester?
Nestor.
Nestor.
He is a murderer. What does he look like?
So, I haven't cast him yet. I'm going to take listener suggestions. But he's about 5'8", and he's lying on this bed. He's lying on the cot, and he's got a coin, and he's doing that thing where he like flips it from finger to finger, sort of entertaining himself as he sings. And he looks over when you approach a cell, and you see he's got this big smile's big, and you see his front teeth are gone.
What?
Oh. He says, oh, hey, Captain, I wasn't expecting visitors. What have I done to attract such a motley collection?
These are my men. This is Lieutenant Lork Irontusk and Sheriff Baron Redheart. They are under the charge of Trunau as guardians. If they will take you, you will be under their charge.
Oh, if they'll take me? Well, well, well. And I like stand up and walk over to the towards the bars, and you guys see like he's looking at you, and it feels like it's like a crocodile, like looking at you. It's something like a lizard looking right at you, and he's studying you. And he says, "Well, I've got a dwarf, a sheriff, eh? I'll tell you, I've got a little bit of a complicated history with law enforcement." And a half orc, he's a big one, yeah. So if you'll have me, I'll get to go, eh?
Who'd he murder?
He turns to Chagrin.
Chagrin looks at Nestor.
Oh, it was just a big misunderstanding, honestly. I was at the killing ground a couple of nights ago, and I'm having a wonderful time, and I'm doing a bit of dice. And turns out, the fella I was playing with, he's one of the guard, I didn't know it. His dice are loaded. He's cheating, and no wonder he's winning. And my dice are loaded as well, but he didn't know that. So, and he said, well, what are you going to do, mate? He said, well, what can I do? I sprung my dagger, I cut his throat. He left me no choice, right? So next thing I know, there's 15 people piled up on me, and you see he's got like a black eye still, and I end up in here. It's not fair at all.
Where'd you come from?
Oh, I've been all over. I mean, if you're saying where's I from originally, well, that would be Riddleport. Oh. Yeah, I grew up there.
You know, that's a rough city.
It can be, mate. It can be very rough. Yeah. You're not lying. Have you been there?
I've not, but I knew a few men that grew up there.
Yeah, it's a rough life, mate. I'm sorry, my manners have gone to hell in this backwater burg. Permit me to introduce myself formally. My name is Nestor Coyne. Coyne by name, Coyne by nature, as my old dad used to say. And to be honest, I think I would be a great boon to your little group here.
You've got skill with a blade.
Oh, yeah.
What do you use there?
Well, I got... See, well, they took it, right? After I used I got a backup called Betsy in my wrist sheath. That's gone. I got a lovely bow that I've had for many, many years now. Call it a jolter. I took that too. I like that back.
Well, and he'll look over at Baron.
Baron looks into Nestor's eyes and says, I can tell you've killed before this man too, haven't you?
Well. Well, yeah. Yeah.
Well.
I mean, mostly in a professional capacity. Very rarely do I kill if there's not money involved. Well, actually, I shouldn't say that. But I have killed in a professional capacity. Yes. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, I can tell you that killing's just a means to an end. And as long as we have you killing the right people in our way, I'm fine with you coming along with us.
I said almost the exact same thing to this guard captain.
All right.
You were dragging me away.
All right. But
it's uncanny.
But know this. We work together. We might do a little gambling, but there's no cheating going on in this crew. We're honest, and we have to trust each other. Now, I know as well as anyone else that we could use somebody with your skills, because I'll tell you, if you've never killed a giant before, they don't go down easy, and we need all the help we can get.
Oh, I know giants.
You do?
They were the ones that left me with this winning smile. And smiles again, teeth missing.
I know a bit about how you feel.
Yeah.
And he points to his iron tusk.
Oh, yeah.
Lost one of these to a giant.
Listen, mate, this is fate. This is fate. You and I, we are moonstruck, mate. I'm telling you, this is meant to be.
I've heard of thieves and assassins from Riddleport using poisons in the past. Is that something you employ?
No,
is that
man,
something Troy would never allow?
I've never been a poisoner. No, that's a woman's weapon, as my old dad used to say.
All right, that's enough out of you. I'll talk it over with the men, and if they're interested, you'll be under their supervision. The other option is death.
Right, well, I'd know which one I prefer, but, you know, and I'd like to advocate for the other one. So, but discuss.
So can
yourselves.
We walk away?
Yeah, walk away.
So we walk
so
away
you
and
go up a couple more flights.
Yeah, and Lork just basically
he's
wants
singing
to,
in the distance. So.
Yeah, Lork wants to tell Baron, he wants to be like,
look, I'm not much for law enforcement. I'm a soldier, and you've taken on this role as sheriff. You're going to have to keep an eye on him. You're going to have to keep him in line.
I hope we can use him just like a scythe to tear down what stands in our way. And just like any simple tool, I'll send him out to pasture if I have to.
Mm.
Dragan looks at you and he's like, exactly. Use him for what he's worth. If he will help you, I believe he will. In the event that he doesn't, kill him.
If we're ranging through the Mindspin Mountains into a giant hunter's tomb, we're not going to have to worry about coming across too many innocents.
That does give me peace of mind.
So yeah, we'll keep an eye on him, and as long as we make it worth his while, there's going to be riches in that tomb, and as long as it's valuable for him, he'll stay by our side.
The man's a killer. You need a killer. And let's be honest, we're all killers these days.
Aye.
If you want him, he's yours.
We gotta give him a equal split of all the gold we see to keep him interested, Lork. You know that, right?
Yes, and he'll probably want more, but all I care about is your safety and the safety of our allies. If he's not going to kill them and he's going to kill our enemy, I don't care what he's done in the past.
We all walk out there knowing at any time death's grim shadow could fall on any of us. This is just one more angle it could fall from.
Yeah, I didn't even think of the aspect of how Lork... This is exactly what Lork... Lork was a killer.
Yeah, he knows he grew up with people like this.
He's exactly what
is
Lork...
It the Black Arrows are like this? Like,
so he's getting a second chance. And that's something Lork can fully understand.
Yeah.
And Baron has no problem wiping this guy out if he gets out of line. Because Baron's the sheriff.
I did kill Screed when
that's
he ran
right.
away. That
did
one
kill
time.
A prisoner. Yep. You get back up to the Ivory Hall, and you know they're talking. Della has
that been... was awesome, Skip. By the way,
that was an
awesome character. I'm so excited.
I am too.
I just, by the way, love the idea of having opportunities to kill another MP or another player character.
Yeah, thanks to the house rule, you might get it.
Yeah. And
we know there'll be plenty dice. Of role playing opportunities as well. You get back upstairs, and you know. It becomes public what Jagrin brought them down to check out. It seems like you guys are going to go forward with it. They're you know, very clear to, like, you know, seems like she can handle herself. Just watch him. He's not that kind of bad guy, but he's a bad guy, and he's gonna serve a purpose. But think of him as a tool. Think of him as a weapon, and he could if what we
a
understand,
lethal weapon.
If what we understand is
I'm
correct,
getting too old for this shit.
He could be the best weapon you have.
Lork is Danny Glover.
Seriously, he's going to be Mel Gibson to my Danny Glover.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
They talk about the way that he killed the patrol. The way that he killed the patrol guard was like pinpoint precision.
Yeah,
like perfectly killed this guy with no wasted movement whatsoever. And that's why they saw in him an opportunity. Like, maybe we could give him to the group.
But he seemed to have the attitude towards that guardsman like he was filleting a fish or something. You
right,
know,
yeah.
It was like total just...
Filleting a blowfish. Like, we did it the wrong way. It's poisonous. So, you know, I'm getting the sense, and Halgr's getting the sense, and Silvermane as well, that you guys are for the mission.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
At least Lork really wants to latch onto that idea of reconnaissance. Lork doesn't think he's going to single-handedly take down Volstis and his giant army the way everything went with Red Lake Fort, but we did get in the fort, and as a small party, that was valuable. And going to this giant hunter's tomb, if that's the first plan of action, whatever, it's good. We can start moving. But if we get to something that is too big for us, we need to go back.
I'd like to think of Joe in another movie, kind of like Bruce Willis in Armageddon, and I'm kind of a Ben Affleck type, and we're going to fly straight to the meteor, because if we just stay here, it's going to come at us. We're all going to die.
Right.
And I get Liv Tyler.
And she says, you know, I'm sure there's some things you want to do in town, but at the same time, you'll probably want to make haste. We've looked at the geode and the map that you sent us, and we've given it to our best cartographer. He will speak with you tomorrow to give you a better sense of where to go. Isn't that right? You got it! Come see me tomorrow, and I'll show you the way to go. Awesome. I'm a cartographer now. Want to buy some maps? For the low price of two.
Della leans over to Baron and is like,
400 gold.
What does he do?
he's a jack of all trades, so to speak.
I say, you know, Jagrin, thank you for securing us passage with Rag on the Chelish Devil in the past. We're going to need travel again, and I've been thinking, what's a sheriff without a horse?
We can supply horses for you. I understand you have one already.
Yes.
But horses will be supplied for all of you.
Excellent.
They won't be of the best stock. We just don't have that at our at hand, but we will give you horses. They will come in handy, I'm sure, deeper into the mind spins. But it's been a long day. There's a lot to think about. Jagrin says we'll release him to your custody when you're ready to leave. Might be good for him to sit down there another day or so. When you're ready to
leave, let him sleep it off.
Let him know that his life hangs in the balance. It'll make it more precious for him. He kind of talks like Rag for some reason. take your time, and when you're ready to see Tom, he'll help you on your way. We'll outfit you with horses, as Algra said, and good luck. Thank you. And it disbands. You leave and you go back, and you know, Ingrahild and Umlo just want to go boozing again, but they're ready for the fight. You know that they're going to be with you at least till you find Nargrim Steelhand's tomb, if it even exists.
Mm-hmm.
And they've pledged their axes to you until then. Della is probably still wanting to explore the city, figure everything out.
Well, but I think she also just wants to stick with Galabras. You know, she's...
Okay, so maybe you're spending some time at Galabras' house and just kind of taking it all in.
She's decorating it with little butterflies and filling it with books that she thinks he'll like when he has intelligence again.
Baron, you're probably crafting bullets, like checking things out, walking around town with a big star on your chest.
I'm like,
hey, none of that.
I'm like,
hey, pulls his gun out. I'm
like, puts it to the head of a teenager.
Yeah. What'd I do?
Don't leave town.
There's a crosswalk over there.
I'm like Danny McBride in Eastbound and Down.
Yeah.
Right when he gets pulled back up to the major leagues.
Right.
But I have an eye out for Kessen, because if you remember during that first council meeting, I shouted at him. I really like told him, damn it, if you have anything bad to say about her. So I kind of want to...
You probably
want to
check out
shame him.
His...
I want to use my new stance as like moral arbiter, as like, you killed that woman just as much as anyone else.
So maybe tomorrow, pay old Kessen a visit.
Yeah.
See what's going on. Galabras lost in his feeble mind. Nestor Coin just sitting there thinking about the potential of his freedom and maybe other dastardly things. And Lork just, you know, you're ready for another mission.
Well, I'm imagining the what I said last time about him with the sword and with Galabras, but he's now alone in his house, and he's just sitting there, like, looking at the sword. He's just thinking that, like, more people are going to die. He's
looking at Askrot's armor.
Yeah, looking at the armor. He doesn't even know how to wear it. He doesn't even know how to shoot with it on. He doesn't even know how he's going to carry it. And he's just like, you know, he's... I don't know. Kind of depressed. He's not like excited to go fight the threat like he was when he left before. Like, I'll hunt some giants. The reality of the war against them is affecting him, and he's trying to like focus and think about what to do next.
And I'm sure that's been painfully clear to the group. There's been a distance there. You know, Della's still very excited. Even though you had all that sadness, now it's still like, oh, what? There's a city. There's people that live here. All sorts of people.
Yeah, when she's not with Glabbers, I do picture her like going out and like stopping and talking to random strangers.
So the next day, you guys have a plan to meet up. To kind of, you're going to take care of some business, you're going to plot things out, and you want to go talk to Tom Exposition, the master cartographer and car salesman. He'll probably be the one outfitting you with horses as well.
He's got to be a bard with all those skills.
And let's say you made a point to say we're going to meet outside the, you know, that area where they were stringing up Brynja when you stopped that. That was one of the beacons you meet there. So Della shows up. Baron shows up. Ingrahild and Umlo show up. No Lork. You wait. It's like 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. No Lork. What do Baron and Della do?
He's normally very punctual. I think
we could go to his house and find him.
I think we better go. You didn't make your bed this morning anyway, so you got to go back and do that.
You don't tell me what to do.
Yeah, I mean, you guys all stayed at his
house. I am the law.
You're
not my dad.
You guys all stayed at his house last night like you did the night before. You woke up and did your thing. His bedroom door was closed. Didn't think too much of it. Maybe you overslept. So you want to go back to his house?
Let's go. That makes sense.
You go back to the house. Baron, you're still seeing visions of the fight right in front of the house. The fight with the when the orcs killed your son, and then you went down that alley right behind the house where the fake apprentice was there. Right. You walk in, and you don't hear anything. And Lork's door is closed to his bedroom.
Perception check?
Sure.
Finally, some dice rolling. 27.
Natural one. It is Lork's house, after all.
No, 26. I'm sorry.
Nothing on the other side of the door. Della, you hear a parade in the distance.
She draws her scimitar and lights on fire.
So I reach to the doorknob and turn it.
You open the door, and Lork's bedroom is empty.
What?
The bed, perfectly made. Everything lined up in order. Pretty empty, with the exception of Uskroth's armor and a note.
I'll read it, even though we had that amazing movie moment earlier.
Dramatic reading.
I don't normally hold with the schemes of fortune tellers. But I know that Droja is right about me. This curse is real, and until I find another way to rid myself of it, I won't watch more of you die at my side. I must find my own path to this cure. Jagrin, know that what I don't do out of fear, but to save the lives of your men and my allies. If Gorum should will it, I will return. Forgive me. Lork.
Lork is gone. And we'll see you next week.
What? Oh my god! What is happening? What the fuck is happening?
Look at Skid's face.
Oh man! Oh,